أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Okay, in the last two sessions we discussed the position of Imam al-Mahdi, and today we want to discuss his mission. But there are a couple of slides from last week that I have added to this one about this position of Khalifatullah, what position Khalifatullah has. Now, you remember the reason for Adam being Khalifatullah, and Allah said, I place him as my Khalifa, as my representative on the earth, was that he was taught all the names. And when the angels knew or became to know that he was taught all the names, they were somehow satisfied with and repented from their question. Why did they had they questioned God? And God said, Ya Adam, أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. Now, you tell what their names are. And Adam told, they didn't know the names. Now, what is a name? To analyze the position of Adam and to analyze the position of Khalifatullah, and now, of course, the Khalifatullah is Imam al-Asr, Ajalallah Ta'ala Farajhu al-Sharif. So analyze that position. We have to see what is ism. Asma is the plural of ism, okay? Ism is a name, translation is name. However, it's a pointer towards something, it's a sign. When I say, for example, Hussein or Ahmad, it is a sign that I am alluding to someone outside. So, name is just a pointer, a sign. Now, this sign may be a word, isn't it? A word which alludes to a concept. For example, I say hate. Hate alludes to a concept. This word alludes to a concept. Or I say, as I said, I mention a name, it alludes to someone. Allah taught Adam all names. Is this what is meant by that? The names of everything, all concepts, things which are outside. Most of the exegetes have actually taken this view, that the names of everything, and we have one hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that said, yes, it means names of everything, even this carpet which is beneath us. This is what Allah taught Adam. And therefore, they take it to be language. Language is the system which involves in these signs and signaling things. However, that's true. In a sense, it's true. It's by these words that we communicate, we can speak, we can transfer our experiences. But these words allude to certain concepts. What about those concepts? Couldn't those concepts be names for other things as well? For example, when I say hate, hate is a concept which alludes to something outside, isn't it? To a reality. Therefore, the concepts are names for realities themselves. So, did Allah teach that to Adam? Yes. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. All the names. So, it was not only language. It was concept, and it is by that which we have knowledge, science. We know, we can analyze, we can investigate by knowing these concepts, how the concepts refer to realities and how to change the reality. All our science comes from that. Allah has given us to this as well. Now, those realities, the realities which are out in the outside world, the universe, human being, feelings, whatever is there, angels, are they also names for something else? Yes, those realities actually are names for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, these are taught to Adam. You know, there is a very big problem in this verse, which everyone is just perplexed. قَالَ يَا آدَمْ أَنْبِئْهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غيب السماوات والأرض. Adam informed them of their names, not informed them of the names. See, you remember the verse? Anyone who has the verse in the وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught all the names to angels. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then offered, challenged the angels with it. And he said, if you are truthful that you can be my Khalifa, then inform of those names. Inform me of those names. Then they couldn't. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. We have no knowledge, but what you have taught us. قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئْهُمْ not بِالْأَسْمَاءَ. Inform them of the names. Inform them of their names. What does that mean? Have you ever thought about it? Inform them of their names. Even if you go to Tafasir, you cannot find much explanation about that. They just somehow jump over it because there's no explanation for that. Inform them of their names. What does that mean? Any idea? But there is no mention of names of Panchtan there, isn't it? This is even before he was placed in that garden, you know? It's even before that. That is true, but that is a different issue. This verse is not talking about it. This verse is talking about something else. Huh? The realities of what? Asma'ihim, their names. Their realities, how are they created? They don't know how, the angels don't know how are they created. Adam knew how they were created. With what name of Allah? How were they connected to God? Isn't it? Yes.
If Adam was asked to show them the pointers, the points back to Allah.
For everything points back. But the angels didn't know how. Adam knew how. You see? This is the ultimate, the culmination of knowledge of a creature. Even the angels didn't know how they were created. What was the names by which they were created? Names of Allah, but Adam knew. So, you see, these are degrees. We know names, but in terms of language concepts, yes, we know names. We are children of Adam, all of us. But we can actually go to that level as well. But that needs huge purity, huge purity. It means human being can know. And inshallah, when we go to paradise, when we are forgiven, when purity is restored to our hearts, then a beautiful world is awaiting for us. You know, we are just wasting time here. A beautiful world is waiting for us there. To reach those levels where we see these asma and how they work, how Allah works in the creation. So, this is the position of Khalifatullah. And do not be surprised if, for example, they say, every day your a'mal is shown to Imam al-As alayhi salam or to the prophets. No, if they know those asma, these things are very simple. Very easy. I mean, this information, nowadays we see how the information could be somehow compacted in something very small and just in a very easy way conveyed here and there. So, these are not very important things. What was important about Adam? He knew the names by which the angels were created. That is the most important thing. And this probably solves this dilemma of why the pronoun here used as asma'ihim, their names, informed them of their names, and they of course were informed about that. Now, is there any question about that? Because now I want to go to qualities of this Khalifatullah. Yes. Yes, of course, of course. All names of Allah are asma'ul husna. There is nothing in the world about Asma'ullah, but they are Asma'ul Husna.
Yes.
Panjatan in the sense that they are manifestation of qualities of God, yes. But it's a bit difficult here. When we come to the repentance of Adam, he saw those names, okay, and he asked repentance. Why that? That's easy. Here it's a bit difficult to connect it. We have traditions in that regard. The only thing is that we don't understand now. Maybe inshallah in future we understand that. What we understand is this, and this is huge knowledge, and what was given to Adam alayhi salam. Any other thing? Yes. Yeah.
Or where the angels were created, etc. So was he given the name of the dunya and the akhirah, or all realms?
All realms.
All realms. All realms.
You see, this realm, of course, we know the names of it, with qualities of things. This is huge. You see, we shouldn't underestimate what we are given in this world. And that's how science comes about, knowledge comes about. But to move to the higher realm, of course, it needs much more efforts. And that is what certain human beings have. Human being in general has that. But not every individual has that. Even knowledge of the qualities of things, not every individual has, you see. Yeah. So it's a collective sort of thing that we are having. Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, this relationship is so deep that we cannot grasp it yet. We cannot grasp it yet, inshallah. Now, let's come to Khalifatullah. What qualities should Khalifatullah have? I mean, someone who wants to become Khalifatullah, or someone who is Khalifatullah, we cannot just, for example, when we start our school, say, what do you want to do for your future? I want to become Khalifatullah. No, that's not possible. This is not something that you choose. This is something Allah would choose, who should be His Khalifa. Now, there are certain things which tell us who a Khalifatullah is. First of all, Khalifatullah should not follow desires. Should not follow desires. So Khalifatullah has no desires, and that's how he becomes a Khalifa. That's why Allah says, you judge, it means I have judged. You give, it means I have given. You take, it means I have taken. So this is a replacement for Allah on the earth. Ya Dawoodu, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum bayna an-nasi bil haqq wa la tattabi' al-hawa fayudhillaka an sabilillah. Oh David, indeed we have made you a vicegerent on the earth, so judge between people with justice and do not follow desire, or it will lead you astray from the way of Allah. So following desires, the Quran says following desires is wrong when you seek it outside the guidance of God. All of us have desires. We have desires to eat, to have comfort. We have sexual desires, we have ambitions, and all these things, okay? However, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِنَ اللَّهِ Who's more astray from someone who follows his desire without a guidance from God? So if you follow it in that guidelines, then you have followed it. You may say, yes, of course, we are all following our desires in the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. The way we look at this world is not in that guidelines. The way we connect to Allah is not within that guidelines. I mean, we have different degrees. The highest is that, first of all, you have to prefer God over everything else. This is the guideline. You have to discard the vanities of this world. This is the guideline. So there are different degrees of not following desire outside the box of Allah's guidance. A Khalifa is someone who never swears from that in the most minute things. Secondly, they pass all the tests of God. And this is what God says about the Imam. That's when Allah tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, all of you know, And he completed them, he passed through all those tests, and then he said, I make you an imam for the people. Imam here means a guide, or a model, a role model. Because Ibrahim cannot be leader of people through 4,000 years. He cannot be our leader, but he can be our role model. So imam here means our role model. Even our a'imma, they are role models. If they are given political power, then they are leaders as well. But if not, they are role models. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطَ about the a'imma. You are the model, the model group that everyone should follow you. Now, the other thing is that they have absolute patience. This is what none of us have. Absolute patience, none of us has it. No one can claim that they have absolute patience. Absolute patience, not following desires, absolute patience in the face of difficulties and calamities, absolute patience in things that we see around us and we cannot analyze, absolute patience in persevering in obedience of God. This is what we don't have. And that's what Allah says about the a'imma from Banu Israel, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. Because they were patient, they became imams. This is about Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub. And, of course, yaqeen is needed as well. وَكَانُوا بَعَيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. So, an ordinary believer with a sort of shaky faith or strong faith but not reaching the level of yaqeen can never become an imam or khalifatullah. And they were inspired with all goods. Again, about Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub, Allah says, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلَةً وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا صَالِحِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. The same as above. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. We inspired them with goods. So good actually gushes out from them. Whatever they say, whatever they do. An imam is like that. It's very funny that sometimes, of course, you know, our knowledge about the Prophet and Quran and faith is now much, much deeper than those who were at the time of the Prophet. Usually people describe it as such, especially the Salafis, who tend to go towards the Salaf. They say the best people in Islam are the companions of the Prophet, then those who came after them, then those who were closer, closer and closer. I actually challenge that view. I say no, because their knowledge about Islam faith was very rudimentary. They didn't really know much about who Prophet is, what is his position. The verses of the Quran, I mean, 1400 years we have discussed these verses, we have debated, went deep into thinking about them. Absolutely, our knowledge about these verses is more than the knowledge of the companions of the Prophet. I'm excluding certain people, okay? So, we cannot say that those who were close to the Prophet were the strongest in faith or had more knowledge. That is why, for example, sometimes we hear in history that when Prophet said something, the companions asked, Ya Rasulallah, is this a revelation or is this your opinion? If it's revelation, there is no question. If it's your opinion, we challenge it. Now, how could it differentiate? Were an imam. Here, Allah says, أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. Whatever they did was khair. And how could one challenge the Prophet because this is not a revelation coming to you? For example, we do not follow you or we want to challenge you. This is a shortcoming in understanding the position of the Prophet. So this is the fourth thing about the position of Khalifatullah. Now, one question. One question, and it's a very difficult one. We are now done with the position of Imam alayhi salam. Okay, we wanted to discuss his position and his mission. Position is now clear. He is Hujjatullah, he is Khalifatullah, he is Muhaddath, he is Siddiq. These are the positions that he has. And if he is not on the earth would sink in, the earth would not hold, the heavens and the earth would not hold. Okay? Because the purpose of human race is vanished, which is to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards perfection, although we don't have access to Him, but He should be there as a part and parcel of this system of human creation. Now, look at these, quote the question here. Look at these statements in Ziyarat al-Jami' al-Kabira. Now, the statement says, and I want to, when I read this, I want you to tell me how do you tie in the concept of Hujja and Khalifa with the following passage. Now, Antum Nurul Akhyar wa Hudatul Abrar wa Hujajul Al-Jabbar. This is, of course, very clear. You are the light of the virtuous and the guise of the pious and the proofs of the omnipotent. We talked about Hujja, of course. Now, Bikum fataha Allah wa bikum yakhtim. This Allah is redundant, I think it's wrong. Wa bikum fataha Allah wa bikum yakhtim. With you Allah started, and with you He will end, He shall end or finish things. Wa bikum yunazzilul ghayth. On account of you He sends down the rain, or with you. وَبِكُمْ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَنْ تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِذِ. Because of you He prevents the sky from falling down over the earth unless say with His permission. وَبِكُمْ يُنَفِّسُ الْحَمُ وَيَكْشِفُ الظُّرُ. Due to you He drives away troubles and dismisses hardships. Now, because of these passages in Ziyarat Jami', some scholars have actually doubted the whole authenticity of this. They say this is from Ghulat. The Shia Ghulat, the exaggerators, have said such things. And all those other very, very sublime passages in Ziyarat Jami' has been undermined by these passages in a sense. What does that mean? It's because of you, or with you, Allah sends rain, or all these things. These are tantamount somehow to shirk, in a sense. However, if we look at the totality of Ziyaratul Jami', it cannot be something forged. It's great knowledge about the, it's sort of an article of imamology, Shia imamology. Who are the Shia imams? You can read it in Ziyaratul Jami'. Now, what is the meaning of this? That it's bekum yunazzilul ghayf, with you, by you, because of you. Ba has all these meanings, okay? God sends down the rain. Now, some say that, yes, it's through the imams that rain comes. It's through the imams that rizq is given to people. It's through the imams that all troubles are shaken away, something like that. What do you think about this passage? Come on, tell me. I don't dub you exaggerators or something like that, or those who have shortcoming in the haq of A'imma alayhimu salam. So, you are opening a Pandora box, Wilayat Takwiniyah. By Wilayat Takwiniyah, you mean that it's A'imma who are doing these things. With the permission of God, of course. That is exaggeration. That is what, of course, ulama regarded to be exaggeration. And that's why, as I said, because of these passages in Ziyarat Jami', many people discard it, say that it's not authentic. Yes?
Because the very fact that our existence is because they exist in the world.
Partially true. As I said, tied with the concept of Hujjah. Yes. If there's no Hujjah, the world wouldn't hold. There's no rain. There's no sky and heaven. The sky would fall on the earth if there's no Hujjah. Not that you are doing it. It's because you exist, Because you are the Hujjah, because the Hujjah continues, God is doing these things. Not that you are doing it, or God is doing it through you. You see? Because you exist, because the Hujjah continues, therefore, rain comes, Kuffar and Mu'minun are benefiting from the rain, vegetations would sprout out, as we have in other traditions, because of you, which is done. Allah tends to the people, moves their difficulties, removes their difficulties. It's all because of that. Does it make sense? It makes much more sense in this way, isn't it? Rather than saying that it's A'imma who are doing it, it's A'imma who actually are given this power. And we have as I said, in the old days we had, and still now we have some scholars, I don't know whether we can call them scholars, because scholars never have mentioned these things. People with average level of knowledge have mentioned such things, that yes, it's through A'imma that all these things are done. And this is why these people are called Mufawwira. Mufawwira from Tafwir. Tafwir means delegation. I mean, Allah has given these affairs to A'imma to do it. And this is exactly the same thing that the idolaters said about their idols, that Allah has delegated these things to our idols to do it. Now, of course, the difference is that they thought the idols do it independently, but this group of Shia thinkers, they don't say they are independent. They say they do it, of course, depending on God, with the permission of God. However, they are regarded to be exaggerators. Okay, any question? Yes. When what, sorry? Were drawn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good example. If the Hujjah is not there. I think I have mentioned this before, that when the punishment wanted to come to the people of Lut, the angels informed Ibrahim about it, that we are going to قَالَ وَمَا خَطْبُكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. What's your mission? They said, we are going to destroy the people of Lut. And he said, couldn't you give them more time? فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْ وَجَاءَتُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتِ. He was arguing with us about the people of Lut. Look, I am the one who has given Ibrahim all those forbearance and patience and clemency and love and kindness. Now he's arguing with me. Give them more time. He's arguing. This is very interesting. يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتِ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ. He was so forbearant. Look how he was arguing with our angels. Now, here, Ibrahim argued in this sense. There are mu'minun in that city. And there's Hujjah. Well, of course, Ibrahim was Hujjah. Lut was his representative. قَالَ إِنَّ فِيهَا لُوتًا. Lut is there. قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِيهَا. We know who is there, we will take him out. Take him out, then we destroy. So the Hujjah is taken out and they are destroyed. Yeah. Okay. I think that's clear. It's a very delicate issue. You know, this concept of Imama and Hujjah is a very delicate issue. And that's why there are different opinions about it. And this is what I think is the opinion of the mainstream Shia about the position of Imama. I said there are two different extremes as well, from both sides. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. Yeah, of course, we cannot will unless Allah wills, isn't it? I mean, our willpower is given by God. And not that it has been given to us in the beginning of our creation and we can go with it, no. Every instance of will that we want to make, Allah has to allow it, okay, that we may will. But He doesn't tell us what to will, you see, that's the difference. مَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءُ. Okay, now let's come to the mission of A'imma al-Salam. There are certain predictions. By mission, I mean, what will he do? Now, what will he do? We have to somehow think out of the box here. Because there are things which are mentioned about the time of Mahdi alayhi salam, which we hear is very strange, but we compare it with our own time. And we want to find out how we can somehow fix it into our society now or into our mindset. No, we have to think outside the box. Now, I'll give you the example. It's not the way we think. It's very different. It's like Akhirah. Akhirah is not the way we think about it, about paradise, hell. It's very, very different. But there are certain descriptions given to us just for us to think about it. Now, here, look at predictions which are already fulfilled, and you can see how different they are from what people may have thought about it. Now, إِنَّ قَائِمَنَا إِذَا قَامَ مَدَّ اللَّهُ لَشِيَأَتِنَا فِي أَسْمَائِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. When our Mahdi rises, Allah will expand the eyes and ears of our followers so that there will be no need for any post between them and the Qa'im. Between them and the Qa'im, he will talk to them from his place and they will see and hear him. Ah, that's very easy now, we can understand it. But could you understand this 100 years ago? No way. You would have thought, yes, you know what Allah does? Allah would take all the barriers and make the sound of Imam Mahdi so loud that when he talks and the eyes so sharp that, for example, he talks in 100 kilometers away, all the barriers are gone, people can see him and he has to... Well, it doesn't happen like that. With mobile phones, with TV, with internet, now it's very clear how it happens. So anything that we are going to say about those unfulfilled promises, unfulfilled predictions, you have to think about it in this way, okay? That it is going to happen in a way which you do not expect it to happen, in a way which is very different from the way we understand now. You have to put yourself in place of Jules Verne and think about 100 years later, 200 years later, for example, how things are happening. Or, for example, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ فِي زَمَانِ الْقَائِمِ وَهُوَ بِالْمَشْرِقِ لَيَرَى أَخَاهُ الَّذِي فِي الْمَغْرِبِ وَكَذَا الَّذِي فِي الْمَغْرِبِ يَرَى أَخَاهُ الَّذِي فِي الْمَشْرِقِ. At the time of Al-Qa'im, a believer in the East can see his brethren in the West as the one in the West can see his brethren who is in the West, East. Yeah, we are doing it already. Already we can do that. It's very easy. And it's very interesting how A'imma alayhim salam have informed us about that. That this is going to happen. And although Qa'im has not yet come, hasn't come yet, however, these things have already has come ahead of it. They have come ahead of it. And we are enjoying. Now, maybe we would improve even more. We see our brethren, for example, in the West, from the West in the East, we see them not in our phones or not in TV or something, right, or Skype, but we see them clearly like a living human being in front of us. Maybe, we don't know. I mean, knowledge is improving, science is improving. So things may happen that we are not aware of it. But interesting thing is that these predictions or these reports from the ghaib has been fulfilled. And people in the past, 2 centuries ago, people would have said, well, this is a report, we don't know whether it's right or not. How can it be? How can it happen? But now we see that how it has come true. Another prediction already fulfilled. ذُخِرَ لِصَاحِبُكُمَ السَّعَبُ قُلْتُ مَا السَّعَبُ. Imam al-Baqir said, the untamable is stored for your man. صَاحِبُ means for your man, means for Imam al-Mahdi, the one who you are waiting for. I said, what is the untamable? He said, he will ride any cloud with thunder, lightning, or thunderbolt. Well, we are already doing it, isn't it? It's not a big deal for us now, but previously, we couldn't have ever thought about it. And if, I mean, you put yourself in place of your grand-grandfathers, for example, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, what type of concept you would have get from this hadith? Yes, he would sit on the cloud and would travel. And others would do the same thing. But now we see it's very different, isn't it? It hasn't happened that way. It has happened in a very unexpected way, in a way that even our imaginations could not have thought about it. So, now, it's very good that these have already happened, because then we can somehow compare them with those things which have not happened, and then we shouldn't think that they happen in a very, for example, strange way, or in a way which is very miraculous or something like that. No, this is humanity moving towards that direction. And then Imam will come and somehow conclude everything and put everything in its place. Now, the main mission of the Imam, as we have in many traditions and in the Quran, is to establish the scripture, to establish the faith, to fulfill what is in the Quran in terms of action, bring it, give it life. He would give the Quran life. This is what he will do. يَعْتِفُ الْهَوَى. This is in Nahjul Balagha. يَعْتِفُ الْهَوَى عَلَى الْهُدَى إِذَا عَتَفُ الْهُدَى عَلَى الْهَوَى وَيَعْتِفُ الرَّعْيَ عَلَى الْقُرْآنِ إِذَا عَتَفُ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الْرَّعْيِ. He will make desires subservient to guidance. When people will have made guidance subservient to desires, we see how it's done. In Christianity, of course, it's more apparent. In Islam, it's gradually going that way, isn't it? I was discussing with one of our Christian colleagues, and we were discussing about the secular society and what's happening, the way the human being is moving towards immodesty. And he said, you know, this is God wanting us to develop in this way. Okay. This is desires, isn't it? The scripture is made subservient to desires. Whatever we desire is the will of God, and we are going, and then we try to somehow explain away certain things in the scripture. Now, when he comes, of course, he will change this trend. The desires will be subservient to the book, and opinions also would be following the book. Now, another hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam said, وَلَا تَتْرُكُ بَيْعَةً إِلَّا بِدْعَةً إِلَّا عَزَالَهَا وَلَا سُنَّةً إِلَّا أَقَامَهَا. He would not leave any bid'ah until he would remove it, any unwarranted innovation. Bid'ah, of course, is innovations in faith, not innovations in other fields. Any unwarranted innovation, he would leave it, remove it, and will establish all aspects of the sunnah of the Prophet. وَلَا سُنَّةً إِلَّا أَقَامَهَا. Or in another hadith, he says, فَيُرِيكُمْ. He will show you كَيْفَ عَدْلُ السِّيرَة. He will show the meaning of just governance. Sira, so it's usually sira of the leader. What is the meaning of just rule? He will show you that. وَيُحْيِي مَيْتَ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And he will revive what is dead from the book and from the sunnah. And that's why we are told that when he comes, he brings a new book. Isn't it? يَعْتِي بِكِتَابٍ جَدِيدٍ. A new book. New book, not in the sense that he brings a new Qur'an. The meanings of that book is very different from what we understand now. He gives you a new meaning of it. And that meaning is what should be, of course, practiced at his time. I will talk about our duty, inshallah, not next week, the following week. I will come back to this hadith. It's very important. What should we do to prepare for his coming? He doesn't need people who know, for example, judo or wushu or all these strange martial sports. He doesn't need that, of course. What he needs is people who can follow the Quran and follow the sunnah of the Prophet. So we will talk about how this, inshallah, will affect our attitude towards our intizar. Now, his mission is the establishment of the Quran and the Sunnah. But what are the concepts that the Quran and the guidance has many different dimensions and aspects, and those concepts and aspects are the important things that should be established. So the traditions actually have explained for us what is dead from the Quran now. Salat is not dead. For Salat, we are praying. Fast is not dead. Hajj is not dead. These are the things that he said, يُحِي مَيَّتَ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Those aspects of the book which are already dead, he will revive them. Wilaya, of course, he is the head of Wilaya, of course. There are other aspects too. There are other aspects which are actually Wilaya are because of them. You see? Wilaya in itself is not something which gives us development or improvement. Wilaya is something which leads us towards certain other things which are important, which we'll talk about it. And that's why Wilaya and Quran are the same thing. When we talk about Quran, we talk about that Wilaya as well. So the Quranic guidance has potentials which have not been realized yet or has been killed actually. The Prophet intended them. The A'imma alayhi wasalam intended them to establish them, but people did not allow them, like justice. Okay, justice is the paramount sort of concept in the Quran. It's dead. It's not something that we practice. Therefore, he will, of course, establish this aspect. So when we say he will restore the book of God and Sunnah of the Prophet, we should know which aspects, which concepts are going to be restored and revived. So the Imam will realize the unfulfilled potentials of the book. Now, the most salient aspect of this subservience to the book and realization of its potentials are mentioned in the traditions as follows. Of course, there are others, but these are the most important. Justice. Increase of faith and reduction of sin. This is what the Quran wants, of course, from us. Affluence. Quran wants for us abundance, of course, to live in comfort. But this is not something which is fulfilled. Security. That's another aspect. Expansion in man's knowledge and technology. Enhancement of a spiritual capacity. One faith. This is what the Quran has been stressing from the beginning, that inna deen inda Allah al-Islam, there is one God, one religion, one faith. And everyone should have one faith, actually. And that one faith will be realized. Real peace, universal altruism, appreciation of the environment, enhancement of life. I will talk about all of them through traditions. So these are the things, these 11, and we can, of course, list more, but these are the aspects of the faith which we do not usually pay attention to them. We think faith is just salat and fast and such things. Faith is much vaster than these things. And therefore, these aspects of faith which has not been paid attention to, he's going to revive. Now, we'll talk about all of them one by one, but one question before that. One question. Why all these come at the end of the time and not at the beginning? Why? That's the question, isn't it? Akhir al-Zaman, he comes. He comes and fills the earth with justice. This is promised Mahdi. Now, the answer I have written there, you can read it, or you can tell me your own opinion. The answer is that God makes certain claims in the Quran which he should prove they are true before the Day of Judgment, so that people cannot claim any hujjah against God. As I said the other day, God is so benevolent, is so kind, that he listens to us when we bring an argument against him. Say, okay, hatu burhanakum, give me your arguments. Why did you do these things? Okay, we may bring some arguments. And if those arguments are tenable, and if God has not disproved them already, then we have arguments against God. But Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ all argument is for God. The effective argument is for God. So certain claims Allah has made in the Quran, okay, they have to be proven before we go to Him. Therefore, in a way, coming of Mahdi is a sort of culmination or nearly the end of human race, the end of human life. Because He is just going to show certain things, God is going to show certain things, and then everything is wrapped up and we go to the Day of Judgment. That's why it should be at the end of the time, not at the beginning. At the beginning of the time, then we don't have that free will to sort of practice our whatever we want to do. We want to shed blood, kill, all these things. No. You do whatever you want. اِعْمَلُوا مَا شَئْتُمْ in Surah Fussilat. Do whatever you want. I'm just watching. I'm not interfering. Just watching. And then, of course, one day you will come back to me and we will discuss what we have to do on that day, okay? Allah will judge between you, all of you, what had happened. So it cannot be at the beginning of time. It should come at the end of the time, when the human race has reached almost its culmination. Certain things are shown to them, and then everything is wrapped up. And then on the Day of Judgment, what Imam Ali alayhi salam says, بِمَهْدِينَا تَنْقَتِعُ الْحُجَجِ with our Mahdi, all proofs would be broken. No one can have any proof against God. When Mahdi comes, He will actually gives a sort of, brings a circumstance in the world that then no one can bring any proof against God. فَهُوَ خَاتَمُ الْأَئِمَّةِ He is the last of the Imam, the savior of the Ummah. And He is light, وَمُنْتَحَ النُّورِ وَغَامِزَ السَّرِ He is the highest point of light and has abstruse secrets. Now, what are those promises? Let's see. So from in the Quran, those promises of God which has not been fulfilled, has not found any ground of fulfillment. What are those? And Allah wants to show that. And you will see that it ties in very well with the concept of Mahdi and whatever we have in traditions about Mahdi alayhi salam. Oops. Let me take this. Sorry. That's too little. They will bring. Okay, thank you. These are nothing but promises. Thank you so much. Promises of the Quran. Thank you. Let me drink this before it spills out. You can put them inside. You send the salawat now? Okay. These promises. Look. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ If the people of the towns had been faithful and God-weary, would have opened them blessings from the heaven and the earth. But they denied. So we seized them because of what they used to earn, what they used to do. Now, at the time of Mahdi, there were numerous traditions. The barakat would come from the fall from the heavens and come out of the earth. Now, why? Because Allah has said this. If people were like that, were faithful, we would have opened the barakat from heavens and earth, but they didn't. Now, if we go into the judgment, we say, God, you didn't show us that to us. We didn't see that you did that. You said it, but you didn't. Now, He wants to show that. If there is a community, global community, in which faith prevails, He would show us how He would open the gates of His barakat. We may say, God, you have enormous treasures. Your treasures have no end. Why were you so miserly, given so little? Little by little, isn't it? Just drop by drop, you were giving us the rest, and we were fighting over it, killing each other over it. Why not abundance? Yes, I told you, why not? Because in that situation, had I given more, this was the case. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Were Allah to expand the provision for His servants, they would surely create havoc on the earth. But He sends down in a measure whatever He wishes. Had He given us more, we would have killed more. Had He given us more, we would have shed more blood. Isn't it? Become more arrogant. So He doesn't do that. But He wants to show us, if you were like that, you would have been given, and this is fulfilled at the time of Mahdi alayhi salam. End of the time. Okay? He will fulfill it at the end of the time when the whole thing is going to be wrapped up. Now, wa Allah istaqam. This is about jinn. This is interesting. This is in Surah Jinn. Wa Allah istaqam at tariqa la asqaynahum ma'an ghadaga. Had they been steadfast on the path, we would have provided them with abundant water. Water means rizq. Here it means risk. So we had given them abundance. Now, abundance is what we hear to be the prevalent feature of Mahdi's time, isn't it? You cannot find someone to give them zakat or sadaqah. Everyone is rich. Someone goes to Mahdi, again, you see, think out of box, and says, Mahdi, give me, and he says, take. Now, of course, it doesn't happen this way. It will not happen in this way, but this is the meaning of it, abundance. I will talk about this abundance because this is a very interesting concept, and it needs a different economy. Our economy is based on scarcity, distribution of scarce goods. Now, think about another economy based upon distribution of abundant goods. It would be a very different thing, very different, different theories we need. What should we do with the surplus? What should we do with the extra? How should we, of course, make them into different things? These are the things that we have to think. So, why Mahdi comes at the end of the time? It's because of course, the Hujjah, the completion of the Hujjah. Okay, these 11 aspects, inshallah, we'll discuss it next week. If there's any question now, please. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, of course, yes. I mean, the disbelief wouldn't go away, but disbelief would not be the salient aspect of life. Now disbelief is salient aspect of life, or wrong belief is salient aspect of life. Then the right faith is a salient aspect of life. And then, of course, everyone coming into that society, born into that society, would have more advantage than us, than we have. Just same way, you see, people who were born before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had less advantage than us. We have born after Prophet Muhammad, we have been born after Prophet Muhammad. We have the advantage of this guidance, so we will be dealt differently from those who were before Prophet Muhammad. The same thing about Mahdi alayhi salam. Those who are in his time, who will come in his time, would have more advantage and therefore different type of judgment. Yes. Yes. You see, the mission is the same, but the circumstances did not allow it. All right? I mean, even the Quran, the mission of the Quran is that all these should be realized on earth. But the circumstances did not allow it. For Mahdi, there is exceptional support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he will not fail. Where all other A'imma and prophets fail because of the circumstances, he will not fail. Yes. Raj'a? We don't talk about Raj'ah in this sessions, maybe in a separate session. I think we had some lessons on Raja, didn't we? Didn't we have a course on Raja? We didn't. Anyhow. Oh yes. In the second life, we just a prelude to that, we did something on Raja. If we want to talk about Raja, it would be a very huge topic. Yes.
So what happens to Mamsa and all the martyrdoms and they don't get any justice, it goes against the
Adula Pandav. Yeah, they may, some traditions say that they come on the earth and they get justice. But I mean, that's not something important. The important thing is that they get justice on the day of judgment.
So they will get over.
Yeah, they. Anyhow, we have certain traditions talking that way. Raja is a very abstruse and difficult concept. Mostly Shia ulama have said that just in nutshell we accept as a tenet of faith that Raja will happen, but the details of it we don't know. This is what they say. Yes. Yes, in the early days of human life, there were more of those spiritual people. It was not because they had better guidance, okay, but there were more of those spiritual people. The attitude of people were different. Now, of course, there are less of them, but the guidance is more. You see, the guidance is more than before the Prophet Muhammad. However, we are not receptive of that guidance. That's the problem. Yeah. Yes?
You said about when the Mahdi comes and brings a new religion. Could it be interpreted to say that because the context within which he will apply that religion is so different to anything we've seen before?
Yes.
And hence we'll look at it as a new religion, even though the Prophet, for example, it won't be the Prophet's religion because it's applied in a different context.
As I said, you know, the main concepts of faith are dead. And when he wants to revive those main concepts, people would think that this is a new religion. And those main concepts, like justice, altruism, these things, may somehow change some of the rulings based on circumstances, as you say. And this is the idea that our mujtahidun are practicing to some extent. Sometimes some of mujtahidun give a fatwa that everyone says, well, you are changing the faith, isn't it? So, yes, it's possible that the rulings, because of the change of circumstances, would be different. And the revival of book may not be by restoring certain rulings which belong to the time of the Prophet, maybe by opposite, you know? We don't know. As I said, we have to think outside the box. Just thinking the way we are living now is not possible for us to imagine the time of Mahdi. Yes. No, we don't, because we may say, Allah, it was not possible at all. He says, no, it was possible. You didn't see it, but it was possible. Mahdi came and he established it, it was possible. Yeah, I mean, when it is established, then it is for whole humanity. I mean, even for those who lived at the beginning of time may say, well, it didn't happen, it was not possible to happen. Allah says, no, it was possible. You can look, it was possible. Yes. Anything else? You want to say something, sir? Yeah. Any other question? No? Okay, inshallah, until next week, well, we discuss. If you go through some of these slides, please, and if you can think something interesting about them, just as I said, about, for example, flying on the clouds, what we see now, or seeing people from the east to the west. If you can find something interesting like that, imaginative, please do think and bring it to us. We may use it. I mean, it's very interesting. Yes.